Static, noise, that's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Taking time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited today on Abounding Grace to bring you a new week of programs as we have thought carefully about what would be a best benefit to our listeners. Today we are continuing our study in the book of Exodus as we're looking at God delivering his people coming to Egypt where they were held in bondage and saying, "Let my people go." Dear listener, you understand how wonderful the Lord is when his salvation plan has been determined and decreed. He is going to fulfill every design of it, and he is going to set free all of his people from the tyranny of the devil and from being under the dominion of sin. That's the whole imagery here. The Lord cares to set his people free. He cares that people know the truth and they become free. So I asked, dear listener, are you free? Notice here that the Lord is plaguing, here represented as plaguing the earth, as the whole demonic kingdom of darkness is bent on holding his people. The Lord is hitting the earth and the objects of their idolatry to demonstrate his power and to free his people that they may come and worship him. That's how wonderful the Lord is. And here we see Christ in the Old Testament. We see the whole story of his redemption plan. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio, as we do want to invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Visit us on Facebook, download the apps. We have all these avenues for you to get a hold of us and to write to us. And dear listener, thank you for supporting us both prayerfully and financially. It helps us to continue to advance Abounding Grace Radio and bring these messages to major population areas on the West Coast and soon to be on the East. So thanks again for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Here is the message from Exodus chapter 8. This is the third plague on lice, and I have titled this message "Of Lice and Men." And I hope it's a blessing to you, dear listener. Do please let us know how you are being affected and how these programs are blessing you. Here's that program now. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We really do live in a day where our standard of living, it really is. I don't know if we, maybe just because we're so used to it, don't think a lot about the daily things that we enjoy and the blessings of living here in the United States. But it really is a standard of living that is unparalleled in history. I mean, really. I don't know that kings in history, even Pharaoh, lived as well as the average American. All of the things that we enjoy, we can get into cars and go from point A to B. You know, we have everything under the sun. And then think of all the other blessings that we enjoy living here. We have one of the strongest militaries the world has ever known. Even if it's scaled way back, it's still... nothing touches it. The best of luxuries, the best of medicines, the best of foods. When earthquakes happen, generally speaking, compared with the poor countries, our buildings still stand. We have food stocked at the grocery stores, you know, so that we can just go there and get whatever we need. We don't farm it ourselves. That's remarkable. Have you ever thought about how remarkable that is? We can go to faucets and turn on water. We have toilets in our homes. Years ago, they were outhouses. I guess as I thought about all this week, what kind of spirit has all of that created? What kind of spirit? It's not hard to figure out. We've really developed a spirit of autonomy, haven't we? We want nothing that will threaten our security and our happiness. I mean, we've come to enjoy it. We've got a taste of it. We really have got a taste of it. And it'd be a painful thing to see it ripped away. The common mantra of our culture is, and think of it, because of all that we've accomplished and all that we've done, the common mantra of our culture is, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. Nothing should get in the way of you fulfilling your aspirations and dreams. Nothing. Whatever makes you happy, don't let anyone get in the way of anyone who would step on your little dreams. We enjoy a platform in our society. It really does fulfill, I think it's the old army slogan, you can be all that you can be and whatever you want. That's the American spirit. You know, that's not new. That's not new. Have you ever noticed that kind of happiness is never really accomplished? Have you ever felt that the great threat ultimately to our happiness is actually a lot closer to home than we realize? I'm not talking about a threat of a foreign invasion. I'm talking about the fact that at any given moment, creation can turn on us. At the end of the day, at any moment, we are rendered powerless to what everyone says is Mother Nature's fury. At any given time, an earthquake, a flood, a tsunami, a drought, a storm, a tornado, it can change everything. I mean, have we forgotten New Orleans? Have we forgotten that people live that? Are we really autonomous at any given time? Can we really achieve all that we want to achieve? If you just set your mind to it, can't everything unravel in a minute? Can't the Titanic sink? If you understand this, I think we get really close today to the third meaning of the third plague in Egypt. And really, to some degree, every plague is showing us this, but I believe it's really captured in this third plague, that God's judgments often strike in the areas of people's confidences and idolatries, and that they're directly given in proportion to them. But especially in this great idolatry that we really don't see a lot or we don't admit a lot, but the great idolatry of a desire to control our lives. This plague is an assault on an idolatry that wants to control your life. And God is showing us here his great power to reverse creation when the earth becomes the object of our worship, when our own lives and successes and happinesses become the object of our worship. As with last time, there's one little statement that each plague gives us. It gives us a nugget of window into the meaning of the plague. And you'll notice it there. And this time it comes out of the mouths of the magicians, which is really fascinating to show that he even controls the hearts of the magicians. But they say there in the middle of the section, after this one that they could not duplicate, they go to Pharaoh and they say, this is the finger of God. I love that. And that's where we're going to end today, on the meaning of that. That God is showing us who controls order in the universe and that his power is so great. I mean, I often think about this. I think, how big is this God to know every thought, word, and deed of every single person that ever existed? How big is he? He is so great, so powerful.
He controls every bit of this universe and how it functions and works. And just with the lifting of his finger, all creation submits and does his will. That was what we just sung out about. His finger alone. All he has to do is this. And here come an army of frogs. God alone, that knowledge and that understanding, that understanding of who this God is and how great he is, should make us cry out, as with last time, who is like the Lord our God? Who is like him? I hope in our short study of these plagues that you have been moved to see that he alone is God, how prevalent idolatry is in our lives, what it looks like. That's why I want to go through each plague this morning. I wish I could do all of them this morning, but in the next week, so that we understand clearly what God is assaulting and what idolatry looks like, and that our security would be in him. It's important to see that the structure of the plagues here, God has been, and I've made the case that God is assaulting strategically, specifically the gods of Egypt. And the first two plagues attacked really the large body of water that sat in front of them, that giant river that they worshiped, the Nile River, a body of water. God turned that whole thing into blood. And then all their gods that they worshiped are being assaulted. Last week we looked at the assault on Hecate, the frog goddess who controlled fertility, and we saw that God was specifically dealing with the very problem that began this whole thing when they held them in bondage, the throwing of their babies to Hapi, the god of the Nile, and then to Hecate, the god who controlled population, and he just plundered them. Well, in verse 16, we now have the beginning of the Lord striking the land gods. There's a structure to this that I'll go through a little later of how it comes in three sets of three and then the tenth plague. So you have three sets of three and then the tenth plague. In this third one, in each third one, it comes unannounced. It's a direct blow. But look at verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the earth, in all the land of Egypt," And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. That's not fun. There's some debate as to just what this was. You have two choices. The translations seem to go back and forth. Ours, you'll notice, says gnats. The NIV says gnats. And I think that's a fair choice here. If you were picking between these two, a gnats would be a good choice. I hate gnats. I can't stand them. When they're flying around me, I swing and I get very irritated. But the modern Hebrew word means lice. Many old commentators understood this to be lice. Some translations use lice or fleas. The most natural understanding is that these were lice or fleas because it keeps emphasizing that these, whatever they were, these little bugs came on them. They weren't hovering around them. They went on them. And I find that fascinating. I don't know if you've ever had problems with lice or fleas. I know fleas bite. We know the reaction to these. Gnats are just annoying and irritating. Lice roam in our hair. They make a home in your head. Just tell a mom, a child has lice, and the house becomes a war zone. Heads are shaved. The once peaceful home is now turned into chaos real quick. We've had it happen, by the way. And that's just from the report. Even today, to get rid of them, you got to go through all sorts of rinsings and solutions. It's really an awful experience, isn't it? We need to consider this for a moment. What a plague. Aaron, I want you to go, and I don't want you to even announce it to Pharaoh. You don't even have to go in this time. You take that staff, you lift it up, and you give a blow to the earth. You strike the earth. You hit the dust. No warning for Pharaoh. God is giving a message in that, isn't he? That he comes and he warns and warns and warns and warns, and he says, turn, 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 turn. But there is, in these final blows, in these cycles of three, a time where he just strikes because people won't listen. He had been saying, let them go. He had been saying, God had been saying, let my people go. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go, so now God just strikes. Aaron, strike the dust of the earth, and it's going to become lice all over them. Of course, as with all the plagues, we need to get into the significance of this. The third plague, the Lord sent lice that came upon their bodies. Philo said, an early writer, that these insects creeped in the people's noses and into their ears. Another wrote, they were nagging, annoying pests that swarmed all over Egypt, molesting every living, breathing creature. What makes this plague even more fascinating is how obsessed Egyptians were with cleanliness. Yes, cleanliness. The Egyptians, especially the religious leaders, prided themselves on physical beauty and purity. Before all of their religious observances, the priests would bathe their bodies thoroughly and shave off all their hair. And some of those images of them as bald was absolutely correct. They shaved off all hair. They had a whole priestly system, and the priests would dress in beautiful linen robes. And it's fascinating because they actually had a holy of holies, and the priests would go in and bolt the door behind them, and then they would present their robes to the gods, purified garments to the gods, and it was believed that by doing this, the priests could control the hearts and minds of people. Israel knew about this stuff, of course. The great problem the Egyptians dealt with and hated and loathed was impurity, especially with regard to insects. The Nile area, Egypt, was full of insects, and they had all these elaborate devices to get rid of them. They would put an ostrich plume on the end of a stick and wave it to keep away the insects. They even have discerned that certain greases were used to keep away the fleas. God comes unannounced, and here comes his army of fleas. He strikes the dust, which of course has some significance for us because it's what Satan has been licking the whole time since the curse. He strikes the dust and turns the dust into lice, and we read that it came up upon all of them. I think it's important at this point to remember the specific gods and the very strategic approach the Lord is taking to these plagues. You remember we've looked at Hapi and Heket. What would he have been going after with this one? Well, if you look, and I've captured this for you, but you know that there were about two or three different gods of the earth that the Egyptians believed in. Geb was the earth god. He is seen as lying upon the ground with one hand stretched upon it, and the other would extend up to heaven. And Geb was worshipped as the god who was known as protecting the earth. He was the god who kept balance and harmony between earth and heaven, a kind of mediator. The other was Ptah, the god of creation, and believed that he was the creator of heavens and earth. He created the universe, they said, by speaking the words through his tongue. Fascinating, because no other nation at the time believed in a single creator. Egypt did. One of the hymns of Egypt, we find that this god was creating all that exists, and then he rested after he created, creating every divine word, all cattle, all creeping things, everything that lives, by thinking and commanding everything that he wished. Wow. I want you to listen, though, to what they believed. They believed that he was in every body, in every mouth, in all men, in all cattle, in all creeping things. You getting the point? God is sending the fleas or the lice upon them. He was the third most important god in Egypt. Now, probably what matters the most is that Pharaoh was given the responsibility to preserve the goddess's principle of Maat. Maat was the force of the harmony in the universe. In other words, it was the belief that Pharaoh and Geb controlled stability. He controlled order in the earth. It was a principle to the ancient Egyptians. Maat, everlasting and powerful, bound everything together in order. Maat established truth, right, justice, world order, stability, continuity. Maat represents, and I quote, harmony and unending cycles, Nile flooding, and the king of Egypt preserved it. There was a principle of chaos, they believed, called Ist. Maat was crediting with defeating the principle of chaos. They've uncovered a document called the Prophecy of Nefertiti, which says, when kings reign in Egypt, then order will come to its place, and chaos will be driven out. If he failed, the Pharaoh, then they believe Egypt would return back to chaos and be destroyed. Now that's relevant. That's really relevant for this. They believe they could control the universe. You understand that? They were desperately trying to control creation for their glory. All chaos, they believe they could control. They were desperately trying to control order and universe to keep everything in balance, harmony, and promote their fulfilled happiness and their bodies, cleanliness. Everything was to be perfect. Everything for the maintenance of a happy, fulfilled, prosperous, healthy life in Egypt. Does any of this sound familiar? They were obsessed with this. We know this. What is one of the greatest threats to our happiness? Disorder. Disorder in the universe. This is an obsession in our day. We're all trying to maintain Maat, the principle of it, with a great desire that we would have a platform to fulfill happiness and contribute to the common good. I couldn't believe the other day, and I mean this, I couldn't believe the other day that I read somebody who is trying to live the principle of Maat. And she used the term Maat. I see it as being true to myself. I see it as the ability to make a compromise in a particular situation just so everyone's happy and content. Let me give you just a bit of, and I'm not assaulting here the desire and right desire for order. I'm not assaulting the right desire for things to be calm and peaceful. We all want that. We all really want that. I want that for my children. I want a society that's that. But I'm going after spirit. We're not in control. We're not in control. Their gods were said to keep harmony in the universe, and Pharaoh controlled stability as their leader. And isn't it something that the Lord has control over all creation? That in a minute, in just a finger, he can reverse things and pull out the carpet from under our paper palace, and it falls. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Who determines our days, when we live, where we go, the boundaries of our dwellings? You know, even Acts says, the boundaries of where you live, you don't decide. Your life and your days are all numbered. You don't have control of much of anything. Creation was an entire polemic against these gods. Did you know that? That's why creation is read so incorrectly today. We want to make it a debate about days and things, and you just wreck the beauty of it. It's a polemic against all the false gods saying, your God made these things, and it should lead you in the Psalms to the praise of his name. Your God formed, your God fashioned, your God made these things, your God spoke and it was, your God gave you life. Your God, the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who loves you, your God. The lie of the devil in Genesis 3 was you can be your own and you can fulfill your great determinations for yourself.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news. It's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.